Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the land of the Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of September 2016. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll check in with Dan O'Brien. He's a K-State agricultural economist. And today, we'll talk about marketing both corn and soybeans and harvest progress in Kansas, which was well behind schedule in yesterday's crop progress report that came out from the United States Department of Agriculture. We'll do all of that and also check in on the weather forecast. Stay safe in your combine or tractor or the semi or whatever you're doing this afternoon, and be with us for this next half hour as we take you through the closing market report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. December corn up 2¾ at $3.31¾. The March at $3.41¾, 2¾ higher. The May futures up 2¾ at $3.48¾. July up 3 cents at $3.55¾. Next year's December up 2½ at $3.72. November beans up 7¼ cents at $9.52½. January 9.58¾, 7¼ higher. March up 8 cents at 9.65¼. The May 8 higher at 9.71. July at 9.75¾. 7¾ higher. Next year's November, $9.52¾. 7½ higher. Bean oil futures unchanged at $33.12. The bean meal up $1.70 at $2.99.30. Wheat futures December contract 8 cents higher at $4.04. March at $4.26 up 6¼. And July soft red at $4.48½. A nickel higher. The hard red July at $4.56 up 5¼. Spring wheat up 8¼ cents. It finished at 5.02¾. Live cattle futures in Chicago, October contract down the $3 limit at 103.82½. Feeder cattle in the October, 450 lower at $126.55. And the lean hogs in the October at $51.87½. That's per 100 pounds down $1.17½. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming from the opening to the closing market reports.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether you're looking to buy, build, or refinance, Busey will guide you through the home buying process. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Here's a quick look at the weather forecast. In fact, for the Urbana-Champaign area today, sunny skies, a high of 75. It's beautiful outside. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Slight chance of rain showers late today. Still a high of 65 degrees. Partly cloudy skies overnight on Wednesday with a 50% chance of rainfall, but just 0.04 of an inch. Maybe another 0.02 during the day on Thursday in the morning. Then cloudy skies in the afternoon, a high of 70. Thursday night, a 60% chance of rainfall up to about 0.05 or 0.5 inch. Cloudy, 0.05, not 0.5. Cloudy in the evening, then off and on rain showers after midnight, a low of 57 on Friday night, or on Thursday. And then Friday, rain showers will have about 0.2 inch probably with a 20-mile-an-hour wind. Friday night, those showers will continue another 0.8 inch, and then by Saturday night, we'll start to clear out and drop to a low of 53. Sunday, partly cloudy skies, and we'll go to a high of 73 degrees with a low of 54. More on the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. A quick look at some of the outside markets show us the energies now, with the crude oil $1.26 lower at $44.67. Ethanol futures are pinning a half higher at $1.56¾. Heating oil down 3¼ at $1.41. And gasoline on wholesale price at $1.39, down a penny and a tenth of an inch. More on the markets and the weather coming up right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers on the web at myrmconline.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, as we've been talking to you for the last couple of weeks. We're, of course, in the middle of our fall pledge drive, and we're ramping it up right now for the last couple of days. So it's time, it really is, if you've been waiting, to make a contribution to the programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media and in support of agriculture. Don't wait any longer. 217-244-9455. This is different than the number I've given you for the last couple of weeks, but the normal number for making a pledge to Illinois Public Media. Again, that's 217-244-9455, or go to willpledge.org, willag.org, and look for the donor button up at the top. And make that pledge today. I hope you do it right now. We're moving quickly into the end of this drive, and I'd kind of like to close it out with a big bang from the agricultural side. So if you're out there this afternoon and you're in the combine, and I'm sure you are, things are going really well. The price of corn and soybeans have rallied on this Tuesday afternoon. Why not make a little contribution, maybe $120 today? And really, I need everybody to pitch in, because this is part of the work we do. You're involved in the process. That's why it's called public radio. So make that phone call now, 217-244-9455. One of the people that's been part of this process for more than a few decades now, same as me, I suppose, is Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. And we'd just like to say, donate a little bit and make sure you specify agriculture, so when we ask to do more programs for you, why, we've got a little leverage from the bosses over there.
Oh, hey, thanks. I forgot about that. Yes, when you call in, make sure you tell them agriculture, or if you go online, there are check boxes, and make sure you check those that say in support of agriculture. Thanks for the reminder. Hey, I want to know, when I looked at the marketplace this morning, it was a little blasé. The soybeans were down, but they managed to rally back. I don't know that I can figure out quite why.
Well, you know, they were a little worse than blasé, and I think we went down to levels where people just decided to quit selling. And when they wouldn't go down anymore, why, we started, building back up again. I think there's a lot of people, especially this year, that maybe don't have room for all their grain. We've said repeatedly it's something to maybe, if you need cash flow, you sell some and you buy it back. The guys that had been hauling in the last few days bought it back a dime cheaper on the beans than where they had sold it, and I think we saw some buying come in that way. So, we also were taking a better look, and out west it's supposed to have drying weather, but, we're not going to be back in the field real fast out there where they got 8, 9, 10, 11 inches, even with some drying weather. So we're not seeing the cash sales come across the scales as fast across the country. And with the little rain we had over Sunday night and that, yesterday was a very slow day, and I don't think we had quite the hedge pressure because there wasn't that many sales last night, and I think they come back and bought some of those back.
Does this mean that there'll be less likely to be a better jump later on? I guess I'm trying to get around to the question of a delay in the harvest season means across the scale you might be able to pick up maybe a few more cents, but that the storage process has been the one producers and most have been thinking about over the last several weeks as they look forward to both the corn and the soybeans coming in. Do they need to change any of their options at this time?
I think that this is a break until we can see some start over. We're going to be closely watching the weather. If we continue to see delays, I think that the Gulf bid actually did go up about a nickel in the corn today as far as the cash markets go. And that, as we look, we know we've got a little bit of short covering coming into the end of the month, probably to just straighten out a little bit before the quarterly green stocks that we'll get on noon on Friday. And, 11 o'clock in Illinois, but in Indiana it'll be at noon that way. So we don't think there'll be any surprises, but we do look to that way. We continue to hear very, very, very mixed yields on the corn. It's sort of a timber field that's been surrounded, and the wind didn't get through, and it maybe stayed real too hot at night. It's maybe 20, 30 bushels less than what they're expecting. And then in central Illinois, a lot of places they're getting, their yields very close to 2014. So a lot of variance in the corn. the hybrids seem to make a much bigger difference this year than they have the last 3 years.
Yeah, so this variation giving you cause to think that USDA in its October report will notice that and bring the corn number in particular down rather than going up?
I think if they raised the corn number, there'd be a lot of people sort of wondering what was going on. Whether they'll lower it much, I would think it should be lowered some, but that doesn't mean anything. Now, on the other hand, we're talking about a lot of people are throwing the numbers 51 and 52 out on the beans, as good as the early yields have been. But we've also heard some agronomists that were walking the fields with some of the guys beforehand, and they're saying that some of the later beans aren't as good as some of the early ones in their estimation, but we'll see what the combines say.
I made note that yesterday USDA said we had harvested 15% of the corn crop and 10% of the soybeans. That would have been as of Sunday. That's running a little behind, I suppose, not so much of a surprise, simply given all of the rainfall out there. But it looks like the folks in Kansas were the ones that were really behind. They were down, I think, 11% for where they normally are.
Yeah, the Northwest has seen a tremendous amount of rain, like we said, and they are way behind. And they're going to stay way behind for this week because it's going to be at least the weekend before a lot of those areas are going to be fit to be harvesting again, Todd. I mean, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, they closed down a lot of things in town out there just because of the flooding and what was going on. So, there's areas that are very, very wet, and as the moisture moves east, I think Ohio's probably going to be out of the field for a few days, and the East Coast is going to get hit a little more with this next system. But like what you're saying, we're going to have a little bit of bothersome rains, but we'll be back in the field pretty fast if we can clear off next week.
Out in Kansas, and I think you won't have seen this. It just came into me from Dan O'Brien, who will be joining us in a bit, and we'll talk about this with him. He was talking about the cash prices there. Not as low as LDP yet, but that's not all that far away for corn. Now, they did have LDPs in parts of Kansas for their wheat crop, so tough thing to deal with, I suppose.
Well, but at least, if they can add a little bit of money back in from the farmer on one end, and maybe we could, if they can store it, collect their LDPs, and maybe get a little bit more back could help. But, it's going to be a rough year. We're looking at the yields are good enough that probably their insurance isn't going to trip in, and these levels of, if we're looking at 332 tonight on the corn closing, and a lot of areas are 30 to 35 under, we're just right at $2.99 to $3. And that's some awful low figures to try to come out on.
Wayne Nelson, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget that you can always listen to him again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Again, you'll find all of our programming there to listen to anytime that you would like. The other item that you'll want to make sure that you do right now is dial in at 217-244-9455. Now, I know we've been talking about some really low numbers as it relates to the price of corn and soybeans. However, it's important that you have some really good information, especially at that point in time right now, to make sure you do the best job possible for marketing. That's what we're here for every day. It was pretty easy to market your crops when the prices were really high. It's not so easy when they're really low, and we have to work hard all the time here at the radio station to make sure you get all that information. And if it makes a big difference to you, then please do share some of what you get with us. I know it's tough this year, but every donation does count, and it doesn't matter really what that donation happens to be. Just call right now, 217-244-9455, or go to willag.org and look for the donor button, willpledge.org, either way. That works. It's quick, it's simple, and it's really easy. You can tell us you're making the pledge. You can go ahead and make that pledge on your credit card. You can send us a check, however you want to do it, but do it right now. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. In today's agricultural news, the battle lines are now being drawn in Washington, D.C. for the 2018 version of the Farm Bill. Senator Debbie Stabenow, in a conference call with reporters yesterday, all but admitted her new urban agriculture bill doesn't have a prayer of passing in its current form. But the ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee said she hopes it will air ideas that could end up in the 2018 Farm Bill. This is a bill to start the conversation and create the broad support that I think we will have in including urban farming as part of the next bill, said the Michigan Democrat. Her bill would have created a new urban agriculture office within USDA and expand loan programs to benefit city farmers. It would make a bunch of small tweaks to USDA programs, too, from the way disaster payments are calculated to how farmers can spend loan money. That, Stabenow says, will help small urban farmers in Detroit and elsewhere. Stabenow was quick to rule out the idea that urban farm supports could be a bargaining chip for Republicans looking to carve out food stamps. Those are not trade-offs, she said. Speaking of battles, last night the two presidential candidates battled it out in their first presidential debate. And here's what they had to say about agriculture, actually about trade, because agriculture wasn't mentioned. You can sum up the trade debate in two quotes. First, from Donald Trump, "We have to renegotiate our trade deals and we have to stop these countries from stealing our companies and our jobs." And from Secretary Clinton, "Well, I think trade's an important issue, of course. We are 5% of the world's population. We have to trade with the other 95%, and we need to have smart, fair trade deals." Well, let's move back to Washington, D.C., and we'll go to the EPA now, where it's under fire for its atrazine proposal. This time, the heat is coming from the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee Chairman Ron Johnson, a Wisconsin Republican, who is raising concerns that the agency is not taking into account potential costs to farmers and increased use of other herbicides that would result from banning the chemical or significantly limiting the application of atrazine. In a letter to McCarthy on Friday, Johnson asked for more information on whether EPA has considered studies showing that atrazine is safe and to what extent the agency has considered the economic, social, and environmental cost and benefits of the chemical's use. Johnson asked for the information no later than October the 7th. Let's stay with the EPA for just a second. An EPA science advisory panel is set to meet today and tomorrow to weigh in on the agency's plan to sign off on SmartStax Pro Corn. The crop developed by Monsanto and Dow AgriSciences has four different types of biotech traits aimed at combating corn rootworm, including one type that is making an appearance for the first time. The companies say the new trait and the four-way stack is needed because of growing resistance to other traits. Environmental groups, meanwhile, say the resistance is a sign that the biotech fix for corn rootworm just isn't sustainable. And finally today, House lawmakers are expected to take up their version of the Water Resources Development Act, or WRDA, but Republican leaders say they won't debate the aid package for Flint included in the Senate's WRDA package. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy told reporters yesterday that WRDA is the best place to address the drinking water crisis in Flint, but acknowledged that wouldn't happen until both chambers went to conference on the water infrastructure bill. It remains unclear how the process may play out on the House floor after Democrats signaled last week they might oppose the measure in large numbers over the lack of funding for Flint and because of the exclusion of a harbor maintenance trust fund provision. The Obama administration called on Congress to quickly pass targeted funding to support Flint, either in WRDA or another vehicle, but stopped short of threatening to veto the House bill in a statement of administration policy released yesterday afternoon. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Thank you for making those gifts to the radio station as we're in the midst of our fall fun drive. I do appreciate that. You can continue to do so right now at 217-244-9455. Go to willpledge.org or willag.org, either one. Willag.org, you're going to look for the donor button. Willpledge.org is really simple and easy to do. However you do it, make that donation and do it right now, and make sure that you tell the person you're talking to or check the boxes if you're on the website that say I'm supporting agriculture. Now let's talk about what's been happening in Kansas with K-State Extension ag economist Dan O'Brien. He's on the line this afternoon. Thanks, Dan, for being with us.
Sure, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the process there in Kansas. I made note, and it was no surprise, I suppose, given the amount of rainfall you have, that your farmers are running a little behind in their corn harvest.
Yes, a little bit. We've had, I'm not sure exactly what you're facing there in Illinois, but we had quite a bit of rain. Of course, we have a good amount of irrigated corn, and the crop that was under irrigation received during the hotter parts of the summer, where we ended it out to the west on the lighter soils, fair amount of irrigation. So we're on our irrigated corn. I haven't heard anything other than the wet corn cut for feedlots coming off those fields. However, on the dry land side, as we call it, we had some disease and other issues that actually brought about, in some cases, down southeast part of the state, a premature harvest. So it's kind of a tale of two crops, depending on whether you were irrigated or not.
And what kind of yields are we talking about?
Oh, good. As far as from what I have heard from people, really no disappointment in terms of yields, other than, you know, where maybe somebody had hailstorms come through, and that's an issue with us. So I don't know that we'll be having any numbers below what the USDA projections are. We're anticipating good enough harvest that our elevator system is trying to figure out ways to be creative and find places to store the crop that's coming in without too much spoilage. So in fact, that's probably the biggest picture or biggest issue we're facing right now, is just a large wheat crop coming in front of what could be record large corn and grain sorghum and even soybean crops. So we've got some real issues.
Would you normally have ground piles?
Not normally, but other parts of the state, other parts of the United States, we had a good crop last year. Our wheat crop, because of just so-so exports, still kind of hung around, and we didn't really have piles of corn or anything. Again, we were kind of a demand center, at least with the feedlots and what ethanol plants we have. So we really didn't have piles of grain that has stuck around off into the spring and summer months. But with this year, again, large wheat crops, we do have wheat on the ground right now and are wondering in a lot of cases what to do with the feed grains that are coming.
What does this tell you about the marketplace and the cash grain situation on the ground there?
Well, we're still above loan rate. And corn, we're probably 40 to 50, 60 cents above. For wheat, we've already dived below the loan rate in the western part of the state and are at or below that in the central part. So, the presence of that marketing loan now brings us to the place where, you know, we're having that affect our cash transactions. So it's great right now, but there's a day of reckoning in about 9 months. Well, now, you know, 6-7 months out there in April, May, when a lot of that wheat comes out from under loan and under loan protection for the old crop, and we're hopeful that we'll have moved a good amount of that grain and of that wheat by that time, and not have to figure out what to do next June, July, and August with the second crop on top of it. So a lot of challenging thoughts right now.
Dan, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is from K-State.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
It's National Chocolate Milk Day. The creation of chocolate milk is often credited to Sir Hans Sloane, a British physician. He learned of chocolate while practicing medicine in Jamaica in 1689, where the locals drank cocoa mixed with water. Sloane found the mixture disgusting, and he devised a way to mix cocoa with milk to make it more pleasant. On this day in agricultural history in 1852, Sir William Wilcox was born, a British civil engineer. He devised a means of storing Nile River water to allow the growth of an extra crop of cotton. by using natural geographical features to divert the Nile's annual floodwaters for storage, which then was fed back into the river in the dry season. In 1892, the Diamond Match Company patented book matches. 3 years later, production exceeded 150,000 matchbooks a day. In 1910, Fritz Haber was issued a U.S. patent for the production of ammonia. The process was a milestone in industrial chemistry because it made production of nitrogen fertilizer less dependent on natural deposits, especially sodium nitrate. And in 1920, Henry Stommel was born, an American oceanographer and meteorologist. He was an expert on physical oceanography, especially in the interpretation of data associated with large-scale ocean dynamics. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I hope you've dialed in already with your pledge of financial support, but if not, now's the time to do it, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Just go online and make that donation today. If you're talking to somebody, tell them in support of agriculture, hit the check boxes on the website. Again, the number at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Don't wait. Do it right now. And thank you so very much for taking the time to make that pledge of support for agriculture from Illinois Public Media. Now let's turn our attention to the weather, and we'll discuss that with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, as usual. Good afternoon to you, Don. Hey, thanks for being with us. It's just a beautiful day here. How about where you are?
Well, definitely I'm enjoying the same weather that you are. The middle part of the nation, the Rockies, and all the way to the West Coast to here in the Midwest, enjoying really the first salvo of fall weather and some drier, stable air, very comfortable air came in out of Western Canada and into the U.S. And that's why we have such a lovely fall day out there. But we still got a big low centered up over Lake Superior that's actually going to be working its way south here over the next couple of days. And so we do expect clouds, cool temperatures, and some shower activity to move back in the Midwest here, really beginning as early as tomorrow. So enjoy today. We do see not big changes, but certainly enough to keep fall in the air, but clouds and a few showers can be expected again.
Will we dry back out and have the beautiful days again, or will it be?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well,
we certainly will once this low moves out, but it's going to be kind of stubborn. It's going to be not moving out until late this weekend and early next week. Behind that, though, we go to high pressure, a southerly wind flow, and that'll bring back temperatures up again. So we are sort of in that time of year where you have a bit of ebb and flow, but there's also the time of year when you do have a system come through, you usually do have a few days of really nice weather behind these systems.
Anything to report on the rest of the nation?
Well, the middle to the eastern part of the nation has had a very warm summer into this early fall. Now, it is going to cool off with this low dropping out of the Great Lakes and into the middle part of the nation, but the southeast and along the eastern seaboard, really not going to cool off very much. And from what we're seeing for at least the first week of October is that most of the cool air will be bottled up in the central and the west, and along the east coast is going to continue to be very warm, an extended summer season, so to say.
All right, turn your attention to other parts of the world. How are they doing in South America as they begin their growing season?
Well, it has been dry down in the southern hemisphere, at least around South America here for the last few weeks. Now, we do anticipate that we are going to be looking at some better chances for precipitation in those southern growing areas of Brazil and Argentina. This could be especially true central and eastern growing areas of Brazil into the eastern areas of Argentina. Still could use some more rain, still some dry pockets, though.
Hey, thanks, Don. Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather. He's out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and that means you're involved in our process, financing the radio station and the programming that comes to you in support of agriculture. You can dial in right now at 217-244-9455. I hope you do. Or make a donation online at WILLpledge.org. I'm Todd Gleason.